A different sort of battle captivated millions of young movie fans this year, one that pitted vampires against werewolves. That's a scene from the Twilight saga, New Moon. It came at the tail end of a decade filled with big-time sagas, franchises, sequels, and remakes. In the next part of All Things Considered, I'll talk with movie critic Bob Mondello about Hollywood's insistence on bringing back characters over and over again. Stay with us.
Bella!
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing. ConstantContact.com. From Cabot Creamery Cooperative, makers of naturally aged Vermont cheddar cheese, and offering recipes, stories, and programs for schools at cabotcheese.coop. And from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Medicare open enrollment ends December 31st. More at medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE. This is NPR.
Beverly Sylvia was sure she was having a stroke at age 49. When she reached the hospital, everything depended on a diagnosis by video with a doctor 75 miles away.
Can you ask her how old she is?
Yeah,
she's trying.
I could understand everything he was saying, but it just was not coming out of my mouth.
I'm Steve Inskeep, Long Distance Lifesaving, on Morning Edition from NPR News.
I'm Craig Windham with these headlines. White House Economic Advisor Lawrence Summers says putting Americans back to work remains the administration's main domestic priority. Summers predicts the economy will begin creating more jobs next spring. Once the job market is stabilized, he says, the White House will start tackling the growing federal deficit. An Interior Ministry official in Iraq says 13 suspected insurgents are in custody in connection with last week's deadly bombings in Baghdad. The suspects are accused of helping plan the bombing attacks that killed at least 127 people. Global consulting firm Accenture is ending its sponsorship agreement with golfer Tiger Woods, the first company to cut ties with him altogether after his admission of marital infidelity. In a statement, the company said Woods no longer is the right representative for the firm. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Now, last week, Bob Mondello and I started a look back at the film world over the past decade. And this week, it's Mondello Part 2.
I'll be back.
Oh, I know you did send me back to the future, but I'm back. I'm back from the future.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Bob, you are officially a sequel now.
Apparently, I'll be back. I like that.
That's Bob Mondello, our film critic, of course. And today, Bob is here to talk about films from the past decade with twos and threes and even sixes attached to them. It seemed like, Bob, there were a lot of sequels over the past decade, or does it just feel that way?
No, there have been a lot. I guess there are always a lot, but it feels like they got big. They really just got big.
Now, but I mean, these are nothing new. You've had James Bond and Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Sure, and Buck Rogers, if you go all the way back. I mean, it, this is how Hollywood decided to hook people on the movies in the first place. They used to do these serials, right? And that's the whole notion of a sequel is sort of like that. You do the story and then you do it again and then you extend it and you extend it a little bit more. This decade, I think what's happened to sequels is they've gotten all literary. And it's kind of interesting to me that you've got the two wizard franchises.
Oh, yes.
Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potter movies. And then you've got the vampire franchise now.
Twilight series. Yeah.
And let's play a clip from one. The one that won pretty much everything, both the box office and then also the Oscar nominations. It got nominated all three times. And actually it won for the third one, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Now come the days of the king.
This day does not belong to one man, but to all. Let us together rebuild this world, that we may share in the days of peace.
And then, of course, there's another kind of literary adaptation, the novels of the sort that we now call graphic. Back when I was a kid, they were called comic books.
Yes. The graphic novel,
the
Bob.
Graphic novel.
Please, please.
I guess the example of that that's been big has been Spider-Man. Let's listen for a second to Spider-Man 2, after Peter Parker has tried to retire his alter ego.
You take Spider-Man's pictures, right?
I used to.
Where is he?
He quit.
He'll be back, right?
I don't know.
Oh, he'll be back, Bob. Over and over again.
I will always be Spider-Man.
That essentially is what sequels are. They keep on coming back. They are now franchises, okay? When film companies decide to do this, they build a franchise around something. If you buy all of the Harry Potter books, you know you're going to have 7 of these, right? And so you can extend the franchise for all of that.
I mean, it seems obvious, though. I mean, an ailing movie industry is going to keep making sequels when they know they've got a winner, right? I mean, they know people are going to go see them, so
sure.
They're going to make them.
Yeah, well, that's a logic. It seems to me that 2 things happen when you make sequels. One is that the second one and the third one and the fourth one, each of them has to escalate a little bit. So the star gets more expensive because he's been in the thing. He becomes essential to the thing. And then all the special effects budgets have to go up. And the other thing it seems to me that happens is that you're training an audience to see pictures in a certain kind of way. Not to get too highfalutin about this, but the Greeks thought that there was a certain way that a drama was told, right? You had rising action to a climax and then falling action to a conclusion. Well, basically what Hollywood does is it cuts off the conclusion. So you get this rising action to a climax, you stop, and then you're set up for the sequel. And what happens then is that you keep on getting these stories that are all beginning and middle. And you never get an end. And we've trained audiences not to expect an ending. When people die, it's a surprise, right? Because they can't come back.
Well, I'm looking forward to Euripides Part 2. In the clip we heard earlier on from The Lord of the Rings, where he says at the end, "We may share in the days of peace." I mean, that sounds like it is over, that it is finished.
Good point. And it actually was. That was one of the 8 endings they did to that movie because they had to convince the audience that it was actually over. And you know what's hysterical is? It isn't really over. They're going to do a Hobbit movie, right? The other novel that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote. I mean, basically, they just keep on going with these things.
That's Bob Mondello. He reviews films for this program. And throughout the month, he'll be reviewing The Decade Gone By. Bob, we will see you sequel part 4 next week.
Absolutely. Part 3, I think.
And we'd like to hear from you as well. What were your favorite sequels from the past 10 years? Join the discussion at npr.org.